Hey everybody, welcome to what will be the final episode of The Outer Rim. The final episode ever, unless we decide to bring it back, because we are transitioning everything over to The Force Chatter Show. Well, it's not called The Force Chatter Show, it's just called Force Chatter. But more on that in just a moment. I'm Eric, and I'm joined this morning by Tom and Lou, who hopefully are far more awake than I am at the moment. At least that's my hope. So, Lou, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's been a good weekend so far. Yes.
Good. Well, the weekend just started. It's Saturday morning, Lou. I mean,
well, no, my weekend starts Friday. Remember, I'm.
Oh, that's right. Sunday, yeah, you're on Thursday. a weird schedule. Well, that's good. I'm glad that your weekend is going well. See, that's what I need. I need more coffee. See, I need to refill this thing here. I'm not quite awake yet. Was up half the night, then got up for this, and once it's done, I'm going right back to bed. So what about you, Tom? How you doing?
I'm good. I thought that when I got off active duty, never again would I get up long before the sun rose.
That would have been true, except.
And then we had kids.
Kids.
Yeah, and then the little ones came along, yeah. And then they decide that it doesn't matter what time it is. They're ready to get up, and you should be too.
Yeah,
so.
The universe is alarm clock.
They're much more persistent than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah, they don't give up.
I need to raise quitters. This is
there. You go. That's what you shoot for in life. Yeah. Just what do they do now? They just get some duct tape and duct tape them to the wall.
And then that seems like a viable solution at this point.
Yeah.
Although my toddler has the pipes of like an opera singer, and will wherever you would duct tape her in the house, you would hear her at full volume. So, you know, she'd be immobile, but still very vocal.
Yeah. Well, okay. So maybe not a good solution.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's a half solution.
Well, you know, you should invest in vocal lessons for her. Get started now.
At least it can be sing-songy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's annoying, but it's at least very pretty.
Yeah, but if it's annoying and yet pleasant at the same time,
that's right.
That's the goal. So, you know, I feel like it's been forever. You know, I checked all these audio levels before we started recording, and now they're spiking again. I tell you, computers.
They just love our voices.
I know, right? If only we were in the future or a long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away where we had better tech. And then Windows came along and we no longer have holograms and proton torpedoes or any of that. Okay. So in this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about, I did not coin this phrase. I got this from the Den of Nerds YouTube channel, but the Filoniverse. But before we get to that, I do want to mention, so as I said at the beginning of the episode, the Outer Rim is going away. And we talked a little bit about this on the Echo Base podcast. And if you're listening to this, you probably also listen to our Echo Base podcast. There are some other YouTube channels out there that have come along after we created these podcasts. So we were using these names first, but they've been using these names on YouTube longer. And we don't want to have brand confusion or people looking for us, finding them instead, and then associating us with their content and all that. So we are going to consolidate our different Star Wars shows under one show title, being Force Chatter. So much like we do with Random Chatter, where we have a news show as part of Random Chatter, and then we have a review show, and then sometimes we do specials and things like that. Force Chatter is going to be a new show. It's going to be what we do here on the Outer Rim, which is long form discussion and then also coverage of Disney Plus Star Wars shows, as well as the movies. I mean, we're going to cover those too. And then we also have the ability to do other special editions or some short form stuff. And we don't have to create a whole nother podcast title if we wanted to do, you know, some little 5 or 10 minute news snippets that come out throughout the week or something like that. We can just all call it part of Force Chatter. So it simplifies everything. It gives us a stronger branding position and hopefully makes it easier for you guys out there. So that is still going to be part of the Random Chatter YouTube channel for now, unless maybe we want to break that out into its own thing. We'll think about that in the future. For audio podcasts, we are trying to point the current RSS feeds into the Force Chatter feed, and that's going to go live this coming week. It should definitely work for the Echo Base feed. It should also work for the Outer Rim feed as well. We're going to test that out. So you shouldn't have to do anything differently. If you're subscribed to the entire Random Chatter network feed, you're already good to go. It's already going to be included in that, so no worries there. But if you're subscribed to just individual show feeds, then it should still roll over automatically. But if you have any issues with it, let us know. We'll take care of you. All right. So we have a little bit of news. We're going to discuss this on the first episode of Force Chatter, which is going to be recorded this Sunday night. But apparently it is being reported that Lars Mikkelsen is going to be cast as Thrawn.
He is the voice actor for Thrawn from Rebels.
Yes.
So there's some synergy there.
And he's the brother of the actor who played Galen Erso in Rogue One.
Mads is the older brother or the younger brother? I think Mads is younger.
That's a good question. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think
that's
so.
Good move. That's just good movie trivia in general.
Yeah. You need to know, Tom, because, you know, trivia contest.
The draft never is. Never going to make him up. The showdown. Right. Draft is next Friday, so less than a week from today.
Nice. Wow. Yeah.
Teams sign their free agents, so existing players that were free to commit to a team last night, and then everybody else is dumped into the draft, and so only one Star Wars player is committed to a team. Everybody else will be picked up next week, so we'll see. But that is good trivia there. Pack that in here somewhere.
You know, there's... When Legends was still a thing, I was really good with Star Wars trivia. Now that none of it counts, I'm lost. But
so just for your information, Lars is the older one, born in 64. Mads is born in 65. So
they're close together. Brave parents.
Mm. Yeah. I could barely keep up with one. I can't imagine two at the same age like that. No. But every time you deal with like trivia stuff and I hear about, you know, the drafts and this process and that process, I just get stressed. I'm like, wow. You know, just ask me what actor plays Han Solo, and you know, I'll cross my fingers and see if I can get it correct. Now I feel like I'm dumbed down now when it comes to Star Wars trivia.
Yeah,
it's very sad. And then with the High Republic, we have an entire, I mean, talk about intimidating. I'm probably halfway through Light of the Jedi. And I could name two characters, maybe.
You know, that's the trouble with audiobooks. I'm in the same boat, Eric. I'm probably about halfway through two, and I'm like, I don't remember any of these people's names yet. I got to go, you know, I have to read it a second time or listen to it a second time.
Yeah.
There are some really good fan-made visual products that are floating around out there. Star Wars in general, like the official account, I think has probably anticipated that issue and has put out like YouTube snippets and stuff.
I saw that.
Focus on certain characters.
They're starting a series.
It's a great idea that they had artists, whether it's a comic book character or not, come in and illustrate these characters so that you could visualize them. But there was one in particular I found just floating around on Twitter where somebody took those pictures and put them into a graphical overlay with story beats. That was sort of a visual. I'm like a visual learner, and so this was like a lay down with arrows and stuff that just made sense to me. And that's my go-to. I've got it in my favorites folder in my phone album, and I just will pull that up every chapter or so.
Good. Could you send that to us?
Yeah, I sure can.
Yeah, I need that. I did pick up the comic book. And I subscribed
this morning too.
I subscribed to it
very
digitally.
Popular comic book at that.
What's that?
It's in its fourth printing. It is.
What? Are you serious?
Very tough to get.
Wow.
My dad, his longtime friend from college, runs a comic book shop in my hometown in North Carolina. He cannot get copies of this thing. This is the first time, except maybe when the first Star Wars line launched in 2015, when Marvel relaunched everything, that it's been this hard to get an issue. Like, he can't even get copies to sell.
Wow.
And you know, he's and normally Star Wars is not, it, you know, it's a good seller for his shop.
Yeah.
But this is doing gangbusters.
You know, and it's
so
funny
hold
too.
On to that number one.
When, like, the day the High Republic books came out, within that first 24 to 48 hour period on YouTube, I just got bombarded with a bunch of videos that were just mocking the alleged failure of the High Republic, like Kathleen Kennedy about to be fired over the failure of the High Republic launch. And, you know, fans laughing at this ridiculous new Star Wars era and stuff. I'm like, dudes, have you even had time to finish reading the book yet? I know how long it takes to make a YouTube video, and you haven't had enough time.
Right.
Like, you just had enough time to finish the video. I bet you had the video done before the books even came out. Like, I don't.
I think the Amazon and New York Times bestseller lists have something else to say about that point, because Light of the Jedi
fake
is
news.
Sitting at three on,
really?
I think it's, nice. It's one or two on Amazon, at least initially, and it's sitting right around three on New York Times bestseller
nice.
List.
Okay.
And we're not talking like New York Times bestseller list for books set in the galaxy far, far away. This is like the big list, all books that are released. So
nice.
I think that tells you all you need to know. And I would fully expect Claudia Gray's novel to do just as well.
Which, by the way, I got a promo copy of it. I just,
you gotta hook me. Where's the hookup with
it.
This stuff? Where
we'll talk.
Where are my promo copies?
We will talk online, because here's the problem. If you had the promo copy of it, you would finish it long before I would. Because I'm like, oh, I got to finish Light of the Jedi first. And then that's taken a while. So, I have to make sure I finish this before it actually comes out. But I started a little bit of it. But, you know, I'm trying to do them in order. We'll
and
talk
sure
offline because.
Too, so, yeah.
If of any of us who need to be able to get it, you're the one who arguably should be getting those. So.
Well, and I hope we'll probably make this make sense to save for Force Chatter tomorrow night. But there was a dust up yesterday that happened involving Christina Ariel, if I'm saying her last name right, the host of the new High Republic show that's debuting to cover all of this. And she's caught a lot of unnecessary flack, and it sort of came to a head with yesterday, or I think it was yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear anything about this.
Well, I don't want to dive down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But it's probably better served for tomorrow.
Okay.
But Star Wars, like the official Twitter account, for the first time that I can remember, came out in direct support of her.
Mm.
They didn't call the individual out, the high profile individual out that attacked her, but it wasn't pretty. And I think it says something that the official account stepped up. So there was a trending hashtag last night in support of Christina. Ugly episode, but it was good to see the community largely rally around her.
I'm just so tired of the civil war, almost the cannibalism of the Star Wars community. Like, you don't have to like everything, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with all the decisions, but let's not be so filled with hate. I mean, it's ironic that some of the most memorable Star Wars moments, some of the most memorable scenes in this line of fiction, in this franchise, are all about how toxic hate is, and yet the quote uber fans of this franchise, so many of them seem to be filled with hate and acting on it and trying to promulgate this hate to everybody. I thought you remember the stuff that happened. We won't get into this either, but you remember the stuff that happened recently with Pablo Hidalgo.
Yes.
So immediately after that, there was a news item. I don't know if we've even gotten to cover it yet on Echo Base, where the Galaxy's Edge characters are, they're starting to insert So they're taking out some of the sequel trilogy stuff and they're putting in some of the Mandalorian timeline characters at Galaxy's Edge and Star Wars in Disney World and Disneyland, which they said all along they were going to keep, like, kind of trying to keep that area fresh with new content and everything. And so there are all these YouTube videos popping up about, you know, Lucasfilm sticks it to Pablo Hidalgo by getting rid of sequel trilogy characters and putting in Mando characters. I'm like, wait a minute. Since when was Pablo Hidalgo tasked with stocking characters at Galaxy's Edge? He's not.
Yeah.
He's not part of that process. How is this sticking it to him?
If you've ever met him, I don't think that there's anything he could care less about.
Right. He's not involved in that at all. Number one, he's not involved in that at all. Number two, he wasn't involved with the sequel trilogy at all. I mean, yeah, he's part of the story group, but that's not what the story group does. That's not, no. Like, it's no insult to him to get rid of the sequel trilogy somehow. That wasn't his baby. And he's just as involved, probably, if not more so, with The Mandalorian and the upcoming Filoniverse stuff. So that would, by that logic, this would still be a win for him, not a loss. Like, it just, it blows my mind how far people stretch. And it has nothing to do with what your opinion on that whole issue was that came up with Pablo. It's just, people are so desperate. I don't know if it's just that they're desperate for clicks because there's money online in hatred or what's going on, but... You know, you guys out there listening, just don't be fooled by this clickbait stuff. Like, just enjoy it. If Star Wars gets you that riled up, just dump Star Wars. Go find something that makes you happy. We're here because this makes us happy. We like Star Wars.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, it's funny because if you click on one of those just because you're curious about how bad this person is doing this YouTube video, then you get just tons of their stuff. Oh my god, that's the thing.
YouTube's recommendation engine
locks on you.
Like, as soon as you watch one of them, like, I spend the next 3 weeks to, like, clearing out my YouTube recommendation. You can go into your history and you can remove it from your history, or you can also set, like, don't recommend this channel anymore, and that will start to reset some of your YouTube recommendations. So if you're curious and you do want to watch something, just go into your history and remove it afterwards, or tell it to not, you know, thumbs down on it, another thing. But then you might get, that might affect Star Wars stuff in general, right? So just get rid of that channel.
All the videos. Yeah. I'm like, no.
But see, that's one of the things YouTube does track, is if you're watching one channel, what other channels do you watch? Because if you go and browse YouTube's homepage, if you're logged in, it'll show you viewers of The Outer Rim also viewed these other channels. So if you find someone online that you don't like for Star Wars and you say, don't recommend this channel anymore, that algorithm should also lower the ratings for other things that channel's viewers watch, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Just remove it from your watch history. You'll be fine.
I don't want to dwell on this stuff because it honestly just bums me out. But the two things that I would say that are these constant refrains in me, and anytime something like this happens, I think, Eric, you're absolutely right that the monetization, the profit-driven outrage that's out there, that's at the core of it. If you wonder, if you're watching one of these things and you wonder, like, why someone could just be so persistently outraged at everything that's coming out with Star Wars and yet still watch it and consume it, at least allegedly, think about that person's motive in producing this content. Mm-hmm. And I would submit to you that the Star Wars theories of the world and folks like that have a vested financial interest in driving these clicks, right? They are directly making money off of getting others riled up. There is no incentive for them to take a reasonable middle ground. There is no incentive for them to reflect. You know, I'd like to give folks the benefit of the doubt and say that even some of these outraged YouTubers are reasonable people, maybe deep down, that they have moderated opinions and that they don't really hold these things that they espouse in videos. But you're never going to see that. And that doesn't drive clicks to you.
That's why we're not more popular, is because we try to be level-headed and just kind of moderate about it.
But the second aspect of it is that and Eric, this goes to another point that you made, but it just continues to baffle me that folks will like willfully, I don't know what the motivation is in trying to find fault in everything new that comes out. And a lot of these folks are like weather vanes, quite honestly. I don't think that they really apply any critical thought to this stuff. I, in a lot of cases, I genuinely don't think that they consume the media that they're talking about. You watch these videos and it's like a rock skipping across the water. If you really dig down, I'm like, I don't think you read Light of the Jedi, because if you did, you'd be talking in a little more detail about it.
Yeah.
And, but I wonder, you know, if Star Wars brings you this much angst, why are you exposing yourself to it?
Right.
You don't have to like everything. You can exist in a world where, and being happy as a clam, and I and other Star Wars fans would have no issue with you just loving and only watching the original trilogy and maybe The Mandalorian. And if that's your thing, if that's what makes you happy, then that's okay. I sometimes think that some of this is like FOMO driven, that it's like, it stinks to not like something that's Star Wars, right? I felt that, even though I don't dislike Rise of Skywalker, I felt that intensely as I came out of that movie, and my opinion of it didn't seem to align with my friends and folks. And I thought, well, is something wrong with me? And then there was this this sort of instinctual knee jerk where I was like, well, I need to convince them that I'm right.
Right.
And I think that drives a lot of people, whether they are trying to do that or not, that you don't want to be the outlier and you want to bring folks onto your side of things. And a lot of times that can lead to sort of more negative focused conversations. But it's okay to not be, if everybody likes High Republic and you don't like High Republic, that's cool. But, you know, don't feel like there's, don't feel like you're not in the club. Don't feel like you're not a fan. Mm-hmm. And certainly don't feel like you need to be angry at other folks that do like it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the constant in all of this is that there is a tsunami of Star Wars coming down the pipeline. The majority of that stuff you're probably going to like. So if the High Republic's not your cup of tea, it's okay. Give it until the end of 2021, 2022. We're going to be inundated with Star Wars on the screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, this stuff will be a distant memory.
And that's the thing. I think you hit on something really important. Don't worry about being part of the club. Because if you are a Star Wars fan, like...
You're the club.
You had me at Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
That's fine. I know people who love the prequels and, like, that's their thing. It's not my thing. I'm okay with the prequels. I'm not a prequel hater. Like they're fine. I enjoy them, but it's not like my go-to, like if I need to kind of get in that Star Wars moment, I'm more likely to go to The Mandalorian. I'm more likely to maybe go to Empire Strikes Back. And I'm not a big fan of The Phantom Menace. Tim loves The Phantom Menace. That's awesome. I'm happy for him that he loves it. You don't have to, we don't have to zoom in on one thing and determine who's a fan and who's not of that one thing. Instead, zoom out and just accept the fact that we are all part of a community. Okay. We don't have to form individual sects within that community. Just enjoy the fact that we are a community. Like we are all Star Wars fans, and just accept the fact that we each have our own little aspect of it that we celebrate. But I've always been really appreciative that Lucas, I don't know if it was Lucasfilm or Reed Pop or who it is that came up with the name, but I like the fact that the conventions are called Star Wars Celebration, because it is celebrating our shared fandom. And that I think is an important perspective to have. So screw all of this hatred and clickbaity stuff. And I'm not singling out anybody on YouTube. I mean, if you're successful on YouTube, you've probably participated in some sort of clickbait at some point. I'm more concerned about the level of hatred out there. And I'm not trying to get into any war with any channel. That's the opposite of what we're trying to do. If you're making Star Wars content, celebrate the stuff that you like. Give critique on the stuff you don't like, and that's fine, but accept that other people might like that thing. And then let's just all move on as part of the community. And if you're a viewer, a consumer of Star Wars content, do the same thing. Like, if you don't like something, that's okay. Let other people like it. I mean, I poke fun at Tim because he's a friend about liking The Phantom Menace, but genuinely, I'm happy that, like, that's his favorite Star Wars movie. It is not, like, it's in the easily the bottom third or less for my personal ranking of Star Wars, but that's okay. It's okay that other people have at the top. I love that they love that. And people who enjoyed the sequel trilogy, that's great. That means you found joy in it that maybe we didn't find, but I'm glad that you found some kind of joy in it. And it's still part of Star Wars. So, you know, I don't know. We're going to move on from this. I guess, like, in being that this is the final episode of The Outer Rim, and we're still going to continue on with Force Chatter, but, you know, there's a little nostalgia here, and I think that it's important, if you're viewing this, to kind of, you know, walk away from the show understanding that we are all part of the same community, and that's what we need to celebrate.
And I think that's what's great. That's what, Eric, when you and Lou and Tim pitched this show to me and me joining this show, that's why I jumped on, because inevitably we're going to talk about and deep dive into some stuff that I'm not as jazzed about. But the ability to celebrate this material, to just dive in, you know, throw off the water wings and the lifesaver and just jump into the deep end. Mm-hmm. and get into the nitty gritty of talking about story beats and characters and where things are going in some of these storylines. That's what keeps my fire personally burning.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We were just clickbaiting you to get you on the show.
That's right. Join us tomorrow night for the top 10 reasons.
but
a really cool thumbnail. Don't worry.
But in all seriousness, going forward, the shows that would have been The Outer Rim that we're going to be doing as part of Force Chatter, we are going to be getting into that sort of thing. We're going to be getting into deep dives, character focuses, moments in Star Wars. We're going to be looking at Mandalorian history. We're going to be looking at kind of the background and the setting of the High Republic. We're going to be looking at cosplay and prop building. I talked to Bat Dagger, aka the Mediocre Modeler. We're going to have him on an episode talking about 3D printing and making props and cosplay items. And Lou, you picked up a 3D printer recently.
Yeah,
you just did a project recently, right? For the people who are watching this on video, you got that handy? You want to show us what you made?
I did. I just finished. I don't know if we're going to show up here with the.
Oh, yeah, your little Skype automated background removal. Hold it in front of your chest, and it should be okay. Okay, well, let's
flip
in the top of it. There you go.
Yeah.
That's not violent at all.
Yeah, no, it's an Imperial knife for my Mud Trooper cosplay. So yeah, it came out really, really well. I mean, my first attempt at 3D printing.
It really did. There are pictures of it in our Discord server that are better than what he just showed. He just held up there. So yeah, randomchatter.com/discord. Check it out. It's very cool. I'm very jealous.
Well, you should be.
Yeah, I should be. Between
now you got to buy a printer.
Between yours and Bat Dagger, I kind of want to get a 3D printer now.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it for a couple of years, and the prices come down so much, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Jumped in feet first, and I'm good to go now.
Yeah, so we are going to wrap up this episode with a little bit of a deeper dive, and we said before we were going to come back and discuss the investor call stuff, and we are going to, as 2021 progresses, we are going to revisit these topics from time to time, but we are going to focus in this episode on again, what I'm dubbing, somebody else came up with it, the Filoniverse, which is The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, and The Rangers of the New Republic. So the four shows that we know that are coming focused specifically on that period of time. Now, we've also got The Bad Batch, which is Clone Wars time period. We've got The Acolyte, which is High Republic, I guess the end of the High Republic era. That's what we're being told so far. We've got the Cassian Andor series. We got Kenobi. We are going to come back to all of those as well. But for today, in wrapping up the episode here, I kind of want to get your take on this. So Ahsoka, when she appears in The Mandalorian, she's talking about wanting to find Thrawn. And now we may have casting for Thrawn. As you said, Tom, by the person who did the voice acting for Thrawn in Rebels. So hopefully that will work out well. Worked out well for Katie Sackhoff with Bo-Katan. I'm hoping it'll work out well here too. And he kind of has a look like I physically could buy him as Thrawn.
Yeah, if Mads Mikkelsen hadn't already played a character in the Star Wars universe, right, he would have been the choice.
Yeah.
The fact that he has a brother that looks very much like him and has already voiced the character, I think there's no more natural fit.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice, assuming this report is true. And it's been rumored for a while. So for this source, this came from, let me find the source here. This is from smallscreen.co.uk. I'm not familiar with them, but for any publication to come out and say, okay, the thing everybody's been talking about is a rumor, we have reports it's true, there's a little bit of risk involved. I imagine they probably wouldn't come out and say it's confirmed with them now if it weren't. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Plus, it's very likely, honestly, that this is true. I'm excited to see Thrawn at all. I know, you know, Tim is considered the big Thrawn fan on the network, and I'm a little angsty about that because I've been a Thrawn fan since before Thrawn existed. I mean, come on. You know,
well, I think we all are. I mean,
true.
You know, he's most vocal about it. We'll let him.
He was that, time, that whole guess, thing but... came about because he was insistent that was going to be a movie trilogy, like any day now, like tomorrow. Yeah. Now, I'm just happy to see Thrawn coming at all, which apparently will also include Ezra, or at least we assume so. So the nice thing about that series is it's going to be following in from Rebels. And then there's the implication or statement, I guess, flat out statement that Kathleen Kennedy made that we're going to have all of these culminate in an epic event.
Movie?
Maybe. So let's look at that for a moment.
Sure.
When you take a television series and then you take it to the big screen. Now, Firefly did this, but Firefly was a little bit of a weird circumstance. The TV show had been canceled. The movie was kind of a revival. And then Joss Whedon went around the country and gave free screenings to fans everywhere. So he kind of destroyed the box office for the built-in audience because they already saw it. So they don't need to go pay and buy a ticket for it. So the performance of Serenity and Firefly maybe isn't a good litmus test here, but I can't think. Can you guys think of any other TV series that then ended up on the big screen?
I mean, you could look at Trek.
Fair Obviously, enough. They've okay.
They've had ups and downs.
Yeah.
But I think about Trek in the context that a lot of the movies don't do the work for you of laying everything that's happened in the show out. You can certainly watch a movie like Generations or First Contact without ever having seen the original series or The Next Generation. But there's some certain synergy that's there where I think if you were a Star Trek fan of the show and you walk into the movie, it's that much better.
Yeah.
That said, we're not talking about any box office smashes here. I mean, none of the possible exception of the Abrams trilogy more recently, those were always, and maybe some of the original movies in the 80s based on the original series. You're not talking the kind of mega hits that Star Wars does. So in terms of I would love for it to be a movie that culminates. I don't think that's going to be the way it goes because If this is sort of, this is why I think the MCU avoided, you had that schism between the cinematic universe and then the TV universe. And there wasn't much synergy there, or there was limited synergy, because I think there's probably some fear that the commitment level expected of the audience is one thing if you're just like, hey, come see these movies every couple years, and then we'll build up in like 10 years from now. It's another thing to say, hey, come to the movies, but also watch all these TV shows if you truly want to know what's going on. So I think I'm not saying they won't do it, but it's a tougher sell to say, hey, to truly appreciate this culminating event movie, you need to have watched these three or four series on our little network here.
Now, to that point, though, Marvel hasn't done that, and they have kept that separation. However, now they are doing that going forward. So the thing set up in WandaVision, in the way that's going to tie into the multiverse aspect of things going forward, and allegedly the Loki series as well. Those will tie into things that are going to be explored in Doctor Strange 2. Now, how much of it you have to see in order to understand Doctor Strange 2, that's still up in the air. And to be fair, Loki, Scarlet Witch, Vision, those all originated on the big screen and then went right to television and then are going back to the big screen. Whereas this is the opposite with The Mandalorian and Ahsoka. And I mean, Boba Fett was on screen, but this is kind of a different Boba Fett. So, yeah, it's.
You could have a feature film released on Disney Plus. I'm not excluding that possibility. We've seen, and it could be a feature film that you have to pay, you know, the $20 or whatever, $30 like they charge for Mulan to access. And then
I don't see that going that over way, well though.
People no, will I think push people back on would that. Be upset, but I could see them putting it out like Soul, or one of these movies where it's a big event contained within the Disney Plus universe.
And see, I'd rather see it like something like Defenders, like they did with Netflix with all that. Lou, what's your take on this? What do you think about, like, how would you, if they're going to culminate in an event, what would you like to see, and what do you predict that they will actually end up doing?
Yeah, that's two really good questions, and I don't think I've got an answer for you, unfortunately. Okay. I mean, I like what they're doing with the stuff now, where it's a mix of different media, you know, books, comics, that kind of stuff. I'd like to see some video version of this stuff, too, with the High Republic, but, you know, who knows? Ultimately, I think the biggest thing for Star Wars is definitely big screen releases. That to me seems like the natural fit for a culmination of things. But I, you know, with what's going on, with the uncertainty of the theaters, you know, going forward after this whole thing is over, I mean, once we get beyond where we are now with COVID, I don't think we're ever going to go back to the way we really were before as far as how we consume that kind of media. I mean, I hope it's some sort of a, you know, television slash movie event. I mean, I like the way they can do both. I like the way Marvel's handling it.
Yeah.
And since Marvel and, you know, Star Wars are both owned by Disney now, I think you'll see some synergies in the way they bring products to market.
And a report came out recently that we're actually going to dedicate an episode of Random Chatter to talking about the breakdown of the streaming services so far. Disney Plus is, I think it was number two, wasn't it? So
three, I think. I think Amazon's still two.
Oh, right. But if you have Amazon Prime, you automatically also have Amazon Prime Video. Right. So we're talking so just purely market penetration there. Disney Plus is included, I guess, with, is it Verizon includes it with their package? But
is it?
Yeah, but even then, you know, Apple Television Plus is included with anybody who bought an Apple device over the last 12 months or so, and they've been extending those free trials, and it's still at the bottom. So that's not as big a factor as people think it is. Plus, a lot of people signed up for Disney Plus aside from the whole Verizon promo thing too. So Disney Plus is doing really, really well as a streaming service. So I think that going forward, I think that it's proven to be a successful enough business model, whereas the theaters now have to reprove themselves, that I don't think we're going to see a culmination like this in the box office. So what you said, Tom, about it being a video, a movie direct to Disney Plus, I can see that happening. The other consideration, we've got three Star Wars movies coming up, 2023, 2025, 2027. That's 6 years from now. Now, unless the Taika Waititi project is this culmination, and Waititi's already been a director on The Mandalorian, so that's possible, okay? And it's speculated that his will be the 2025 one, I think. Are we really going to wait 4 years from now to get that culmination? We don't know. We don't know how many seasons we're expecting of any of these shows.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big factor too. So at what point, do we do that? Like, if they've already got those films blocked out and they haven't announced what the films are, I don't know. We would have a long wait to get to that, which is okay with me in the sense that I want these shows to run out for a long time. I don't want them to just be one season, you know, one and done.
I would normally I'd agree with you on that point, Eric, but I mean, there's been some really good limited series out there now, especially with the pandemic where, you know, we're more used to streaming things. I mean, I am all in favor of a limited series that does a concise story, beginning, middle, and end really well, and it's done.
I'm okay with that for Kenobi, but not for the good ones.
I want Mandalorian to go on forever.
Yes.
But I mean, then you have another limited series involving similar characters or even the same character. I mean, it doesn't have to be one. I mean, I don't want them to get into the situation where you commit to something and then you keep it going a season or two past where it should have ended. Mm. And that seems we get that a lot. True. Sometimes where I shouldn't say a lot sometimes, but you know, we do get that a lot where, you know, you'll have a really good season and all of a sudden it's like, well, we're trying to wrap things up, but we don't really have a plan. And then we're doing this. And then all of a sudden the studio goes, nope, we're getting rid of you. Now you have to wrap everything up really shortly. And it's awkward. A planned limited series, I think, is, or even a planned 3 or 4 season series is what I would like to see them do.
I agree with you on that. Like, you need a plan, and you don't want to run something on longer than it needs to. I mean, that's a fair point.
Cassian Andor is a good example of, I think, the flexing of their plans along those lines, because that series is naturally time limited by Rogue One.
Yeah.
So wherever they start it back, and I realize they can, Clone Wars is a good example. You can pack a lot into, say, a 4-year period, right? You can pack as much as you want to, depending on how you tell the stories. But already the reporting, this is done in the context of Alan Tudyk saying, hey, he was originally going to be in it, and then now he's not, but could be in the future. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is that they've backed up the timeline of Andor by a year or two so that there's a bigger gap between the show and Rogue One, allowing them theoretically to pack more story in there. Mm-hmm. And that at some point that still gives them the flexibility to show, although it's been done in the comic already, show how he gets K2 and show some of their adventures together. But I think you'll see a little bit of that depending on their read of fan interest.
Yeah.
And subscriber interest. But I like the mix. And we don't know. I think we know that Boba Fett is, I forget their name, a special event series or whatever they called it. Mm-hmm. In the investor call.
Now, Boba Fett.
We don't know how that's defined.
They didn't. Yeah.
They didn't say that. Yeah, well, that's right. They didn't touch it at all.
Right. So we don't know that that's a... So we know Kenobi is an event series.
Right. And I think Lando is an event
series.
Lando
is an event series. Those were the two.
But we don't know how they define that. So
true.
When we're talking more broadly in terms of those sort of things, you can have the Kenobi definition of it, which is longer episodes, seemingly almost like film-length episodes, but only a handful of them. You could also have sort of like the British, like the BBC model for shows where, you know, on average you're talking like 2-3 series, 2-3 seasons for a show. And that's just its natural lifespan.
Yeah.
Before it's not canceled, but they just move on. They wrap it up. Mm-hmm. And go on to the next show.
And that's really the question, right? Like, I don't want even The Mandalorian. I don't want it to become The Simpsons. I don't want to be wondering what happens in season 34.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
But I think there's a sweet spot that I'd like to see at least 4 seasons, ideally. And I think 7 is the point at which I start to wonder if they're running out of stories to tell. Like, somewhere in that 3 or 4 to 7 length is my personal preference. And I like the fact, you know, I've talked before about Kenobi, that I don't know inherently what you do with that. So I'm okay with that being shorter. And I'm loving the new direction they're doing with Boba Fett. But The Book of Boba Fett, I'm okay with that being an event series too, depending on what it is they're telling. If they're going back and kind of explaining, you know, how he got out of the Sarlacc pit and how he got to where he is right now, that needs to be limited. But if they're going to go forward with it, I'm okay with that being a little bit longer, especially if they're going to do like the lone wolf thing with him And then the Mandalore recovery with Din Djarin. Like, if he's going to go with Bo-Katan and try to take back the planet of Mandalore, then you've got two different modes of storytelling there.
Yeah.
So
I guess what I'm saying is, and I keep coming back in my mind to Babylon 5.
Yeah.
You know, have a plan when you start out. We said this about the movie, the last set of movies we had too. But, you know, have a plan. Maybe you don't have all the stories written. I mean, of course, you wouldn't have 5 or 6 years worth of stories written, but you know the major arcs you want to hit. You know where things are going to go, and that may change along the way. I mean, you leave yourself room to change that roadmap and take a different off ramp. Yeah. But, you know, have a plan. Don't try to overstay your welcome. Don't try to do more than you can. Don't try to have 18 different shows going at the same time about the same thing, because this is really popular right now.
Right.
You know, give me the series, like you said, of doing the Mandalore thing or doing the whole, you know, Boba Fett and the Sarlacc Pit series thing. Whatever it is, have your plan, stick with it, and just make that run.
Lou, can you imagine? Tom, have you ever watched Babylon 5?
No. That's shameful to admit, but
it's for the people who haven't or don't know anything about it, you don't know what you're missing. Like, Lou, can you imagine having Joe Straczynski writing any Star Wars content? Like,
yeah,
I mean, mind blown. You
know, yep.
So for Babylon 5, for those who don't know, it was 5 seasons long, and the poor guy, he was the showrunner and the producer. He wrote almost all of the episodes for seasons 3, 4, and 5. And I think season 2, he directed every episode for, I think, seasons 3, 4, and 5. Neil Gaiman wrote one of the episodes for season 5. I mean, the guy just worked himself to death on the show, and then got none of the residuals because his contract was for VHS. tapes, and then all of a sudden everything went to DVDs, geez. And he doesn't get a penny.
But you know, and the interesting thing about that, I mean, he sold that concept of the Babylon 5 story to whoever was doing it at the time. Was it TNT? Warner Brothers. Yep. You know, he sold it as, this is what I'm going to do. I want 5 seasons. This is how I'm telling.
That's what
story.
I'm getting at. He wrote not the script, but like he outlined the final episode first. He knew where the entire story was going, and it is probably one of the most epic levels as far as both the scope and the scale. Like, when people talk about how epic Lord of the Rings is, just in the sense of like everything, like all of reality mattering, you know, culminating in this big event thing, like, Babylon 5 is that level of epic heights. It's things start kind of slow, and the, you know, the first season a little rough. And to go back and watch it now, it's very much like mid-90s sort of framing. It's like just before the dark and gritty Battlestar Galactica. So this was the last of the not gritty stuff, right? But the stakes that he raises things to, the character development, every single character in this starts one way and ends up in a completely different way. The storytelling was brilliant, but it was all mapped out. Mm-hmm. And if we had something like that in Star Wars, and I'm hoping that that's what Filoni and Favreau were doing. And I know they're not literally saying, okay, here's the final episode, and we're going to start at the beginning and move toward that. I hope they're doing something like that, though, like where they're really mapping everything out in advance, and so that they have an idea of where they're going to end up now, so they know how to get to it instead of just moving forward. And they're doing pretty good so far of navigating forward,
right?
But I hope they've already started to look at where that end piece is and what the ending's going to be, because I think that is an important part of long-term storytelling. By the way, Joe Straczynski has a new book coming out soon. I got a promo copy of that too. Very excited, but
we know from his public comments that's how Filoni thinks about things. I won't give him, you know, endless credit for everything, because he's not a perfect writer or director by any means. Mm-hmm. But He learned at the feet of Lucas, who, you know, say what you will about him, but I think he had a vision for where things were going.
Absolutely.
In the original trilogy. And even if that was being worked out as the plane was flying through the air in some cases, or kind of changing course with things. But I go back to his comments before we ever got this last season of the Clone Wars, which was that when you talk about the Siege of Mandalore, he viewed that as the culminating event of the series. And he had that planned out in detail before he ever knew he was going to have a chance to have it on screen. And that's because his passion for the story, his vision for these characters and where they were going to go, and how this show and its arc fit into the larger galaxy.
Right.
And I would have to believe that was one of the primary foundational items he learned from Lucas, or absorbed from Lucas. And at least so far, he's showing that's feeding into their work now.
Yeah.
Favreau, I think it, you know, we have sort of a limited sample size in terms of what we have so far. And so far, it's all things are looking great. They seem to have great synergy, they've got the benefit of the doubt as far as I'm concerned until they've
earned it,
until they do otherwise. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So back to what we want, understanding that what we want may not be what we get, and we're probably still going to like what we get, even if it's not what we want. But Lou, we've got Rangers of the New Republic, which we assume could involve those two X-Wing pilots we saw, could involve Cara Dune. We've got The Mandalorian going forward, which we assume will also involve Bo-Katan. It'll be Din Djarin, probably Bo-Katan, and her group of Mandos, and probably taking back Mandalore. We've got the Book of Boba Fett, which we assume will be Boba Fett and Fennec Shand. And we've got Ahsoka, which we assume will be her going after Thrawn and Ezra. We will have some event where things come back together at some point. We don't know that everything along that journey is going to be related to one another, but we do have an expectation based on what Kathleen Kennedy said that there will be a culminating event somehow. I would like to see that as a mini series rather than a single movie, whether it comes straight to Disney Plus or the theaters. But I'd like the two of you to give your takes on what you would like to see. So Lou, of those different series, is there anything that you want to just be a one and done? Is there anything that you want to be kind of ongoing until the culminating event? And is there anything that you actually want to see, like, go up to that culminating event and then still continue past it? Like, what is your desired time frame look like for these different shows?
How much time do you have? That's a big, big question.
All of the above.
You know, I think the Boba Fett series, I think I want it to be a limited series. I think I want it to be, you know, tell me the story and finish it, because I think we have a good opportunity to take a character and give us some background on him and find out kind of what he's done since we saw him, you know, for 5 seconds on screen in the big movie. And that'd be it. The Rangers of the New Republic, I think, is the one I want to see kind of going forward and being a continuing story.
Interesting.
To me, I'm looking at this kind of like a, you know, a Space Above and Beyond or a Babylon 5 or something where it's episodic.
I missed that show.
In terms of,
that's a callback. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I was flipping through things the other day and happened to come across
it. I love that show.
But, you know, that kind of thing, I think, lends well to episodic type stuff where you have pilots in a, you know, going on and doing this, or ground troops or whatever. You have that kind of an element that you can do, you know, stories week to week on, almost like your Alien of the Week type thing. It may not be moving the whole story ahead much, but I think it'd be fun television.
Yeah.
But overall, I do want to see all this stuff kind of build off each other and reference each other a little bit here and there, you know. And I guess I'm more focused on the home screen than I am on the big screen right now, just because I think that's where we're going to be at for a while.
Yeah. One nice aspect of that for us anyway, selfishly, is as podcasters and YouTubers, when it's at home, it feels like 80% of the people that we know see it within the first 24 hours. And the remaining 20% typically see it within the first 72 hours. So it's easy to kind of get back into and like talk to people. Like right now, as we're recording this, Tim and his other crew, they're recording on MCU TV about WandaVision. And every week there's a new episode of that. So like, I like this format. I like the fact that we're back to the water cooler talk. I'm not sitting here where Tom has binged the entire season when it came out at 3 a.m. and then I'm catching up like 4 weeks later because I'm busy binge watching these other two or three series that came out. And then Lou, you might catch us somewhere in between. We're never in sync. And so I'm liking the, I like the way they have it structured right now. My thoughts. So that's interesting. You want the Rangers of the New Republic to kind of be the ongoing thing.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think it lends itself well to that.
Okay. See, I'm still on the fence about that. Is that going to be, I don't want to say like a throwaway series, but it doesn't have a headlining character in it really. So I'm wondering where that's going to fall in the fandom compared to the others. Is it going to stand out? Is it going to take the lead? Is it going to be like, is it going to become the new thing? Or is it going to be one of those, yeah, there's also this sorts of series?
See, and to me, I think it's the chance for them to develop new characters and have things that don't rely on something else. Everything else we've seen does, like Cassian, the Andor series and so forth. You know, those are all based on somebody we already known. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, this is something new we can develop and have new characters and new things going on and delve into new parts of the galaxy we haven't dealt with before.
Okay.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. This will be the my last comment before I have to drop off, unfortunately. But Rangers of the New Republic is what I'm excited about. And not and I think because it's not going to be this like Earth moving, galaxy shifting series, it's going to probably play into whatever this culminating event is. But when you get down to it, I find just like in the Clone Wars and just like some of the one-off episodes-ish of the Mandalorian, that I enjoy those self-contained stories. I am perfectly fine when the stakes aren't completely revved up at 10 out of 10
right
at all times. Your filler episode, or what some would call a filler episode, is something that I just enjoy because I can sit down and watch an encapsulated story and not feel like I have to watch an entire 10 episode arc of something.
True.
or whatever. And you know, some of that's influenced by just the way that I watch TV shows and the time that I'm able to dedicate to it. But also, I just love, as Lou said, the concept of this show, as little as we know about it. If it's based on folks like Trapper Wolf and Carson Tava, the two X-Wing pilots, whether they're in it or not, if it's showing or getting a peek behind the curtain at the New Republic going from, in a matter of months, if not just over a year or two, an insurgency that's up against the wall, that's constantly fighting for their survival, to trying to govern an entire galaxy and bring order to an entire galaxy, at least as far as the Outer Rim's concerned, has been the Wild Wild West.
Right.
And how do you do that? And we've seen a nice little peek into it. And the troubles that the New Republic faces in The Mandalorian, and that's one of my favorite aspects of that show. But the chance to see that in a series and watch what I view is going to be like a cowboy type show cut from a different cloth than The Mandalorian is just exciting. You know, this, if it's like a posse rolling around and it's pilot based, and they're running around trying to bring order and make alliances on planets with people like Cara Dune and kind of extend informally or otherwise the New Republic's reach and influence and right some wrongs in the galaxy. That's awesome. That's the same reason I look forward to the Bad Batch, because not everything has to be like Grogu and Luke Skywalker levels or Ahsoka and Thrawn
levels.
That's
a good point.
Galactic import.
Yeah. Right?
So that's, you know, it seems like a fun show. If there are X-Wings, or especially if there are Y-Wings involved, my heart will flutter and all will be good.
I mean, the good news about the Y-Wings is we'll get to see more of them blow up. if we end up with more White House.
Oh man,
it happens. But that drives vengeance, and that's a good thing. What better reason? Exactly.
Okay.
Sweet revenge.
All right. Well, before we wrap up here, I'll just throw in my two cents. I know you've got to cut out, Tom. So I definitely want to see Ahsoka be multiple seasons. I think there's a good, solid, more epic storyline there. But I think you're right. I think that the it's more intimate sometimes, right? When it's just, it's character driven and it's not about the end of the universe and all that. And I like that about The Mandalorian. So I like the Ronin solo lone wolf sort of thing that they've done so far and that they seem to be going with the Boba Fett series. A lot of people are concerned about how The Mandalorian's going to end up, both now with the loss of Grogu and with them retaking Mandalore, and it's no longer going to be that lone wolf sort of thing. But yeah, I agree with you guys that Rangers of the New Republic offers the most flexibility in the storytelling, and you could go in one direction and then go in a totally different direction if you need to, because it's literally like an understaffed group of people patrolling a large area where literally anything could happen anywhere, anytime. There are no boundaries to the storytelling there. And I think that that's an important thing to keep in mind for that series. And so maybe that is the good one to carry forward. I was going to say that would be the least interesting to do that with for me, but you guys make good points. I don't know. I might be changing my perspective on that. As my concern is this, as long as there is something that continues, I like that continuity. I hate being fed something that's like really good and then it ends and there's no more. I think that we've...
But all good things come to
great.
An end.
It can end later. It doesn't have to end soon. Like, give us something that we know we can come back to and rely on. That reliability. And like, there's Star Wars is about hope. There's hope involved when you sure. know that there's consistency and reliability and there's something you can keep going back to. And so that's what I want. Just pick any of them. I don't care which. And let us know that we can at least get a few years out of that. Like, give us 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons. End it at 6 or 7, that's okay. Even 5 if we have to. But at least give us that long where I've got a significant period of time where I know I can keep coming back to it. And then it ends and that's great. And you'll give us something else after that that's ongoing. I just don't want it to be all one-shots or all little mini-series.
They should give us 5 seasons of good stuff and then give us the next thing coming out in season 4 of that first season. Yeah. So that you have 2 seasons of overlap and then go from the, you know,
yeah.
do that.
I mean, Star Trek did that, right? You've got
kind of
some rollover. Picard shows up at the beginning of DS9, doesn't he?
Yeah, they had DS9 overlap by 2 years.
Worf rolled over and
Voyager overlap by a year or two, maybe. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, the whole backdoor pilot concept and stuff, which arguably they've kind of maybe done already with Rangers of the New Republic. So, yeah, I don't know. Looking forward to that. But that's going to do it for this episode of The Outer Rim. I see Tom's video's frozen, so I think he's already...
Oh, yeah, he made it.
...is cut out. That's fine. But thank you for everybody who's been hanging out with us throughout this entire run of The Outer Rim. We are going to be back. We are coming back. We're not going anywhere. We're just changing the title. We will be back for Force Chatter. Again, don't worry about anything. We should have all of the RSS stuff for the audio podcasts rolled over with no problem. If you have any questions about it, contact us. Hit us up in Discord, randomchatter.com/Discord, and definitely subscribe to us in iTunes. I meant YouTube. The video content in YouTube is going to continue, and this is where you're going to find Force Chatter going forward. So randomchatter.com/YouTube. Hit the subscribe and like buttons. Check out the other video content we have there, and we will see you again very, very soon. So until then,